There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Clicker I Barely Know Her, a The Last of Us HBO TV series recap and review podcast with a lighthearted comedic edge. My name is Ben Vanel. I've successfully extended that intro once again. My name is Ben Vanel. I'm joined by Tommy Dasilo.
Hello.
And Adam Knox, who's raring, he's biting at the bit, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I'm champing at the bit. He's and champing. They pronounce it chomping, and then they're like, it's actually champing. Well, then say it that way, cunt. But I was champing at the bit because I want all my comedic edges to be lighthearted. I want my comics edgy but silly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real back and forth whiplash shit.
Maybe we should have a new podcast called Champing at the Bit. Because, you know, we do bits all the time.
And we're champs.
Yeah.
And we're fucking champs. But
and if anyone ever pronounces it chomping, we go, it's actually champing.
Because we're on our high horse and it all ties together. But this show, this show does feature a horse. It also features some bloody infected and Ellie and Joel. Because we're going to talk about The Last of Us. And specifically, we're going to talk about this week's episode, which was entitled 8.
When we are in need.
When we are in need.
Yeah,
Binge really did us dirty this week. They took about it was about 10 minutes late going onto the service. But also they do this every week where they get the episode straight up there with literally no information, no episode description, no episode title. So for the first couple of hours that it's on the platform, it'll just be episode 8. Joel and Ellie go on a trip across the country while avoiding monsters.
Yep. So, if you've not listened to this podcast before, go back and listen to the other episodes. But just so you know, we spend the majority of the episode of the pod talking about just what's happened in the latest episode of The Last of Us TV show and the events leading up to it. But we do spoil the extended media, the video games, the sequel, in a very clearly marked quarantine zone spoiler section at the end. So you can listen to 9/10 of the podcast, spoiler-free for future events in this show. But we have a special little section for those in the know at the very end. So just be aware you might need to jump out.
No spoilers for stuff that hasn't aired for most of it, though. So you're safe right now. Also, Tommy's in Adelaide, so we're recording over the electronic devices.
Yes.
And so that it may sound slightly different this week. Not quality wise, because we're goddamn pros with prosumer setups. But just letting people know. But no spoilers for a bit. We will have emails though.
Yes.
If emails spoil your day, then skip forward a few minutes.
They frequently spoil mine, so yeah, I can relate.
No, that's fair. We won't be, we'll just skim over the bits where they say circle back. We'll just filter out all the office speak. Let's start the mailbox section. You can email in at clickeribarelyknower@gmail.com. All spells exactly how it sounds. And we got a bunch between last episode and this episode. Where should we start?
Well, we've gotten a bunch the whole time, and a few of them we've had to, you know, because we talk about these episodes for generally longer than the episode even runs for, so we try to keep it trim, but we've decided, we'll do one extra episode after these have, so next week is the finale of the show, we'll do one more episode the week after that, All emails.
All emails.
Yeah, where we can, because it would be a shame to, you know, you guys listening, you'll have thoughts about the finale.
That's
and
right.
If we just end the episodes after that, then we won't get to get into those thoughts. So, yeah, we'll come back the week after the finale to do your correspondence about the finale. And then also a lot of these emails we're getting are more, they're not so much about the episode that's just been on. They're, they're kind of, they're funny or they're topics of discussion about just like the world of The Last of Us. So
right.
Yeah, we'll come back and we'll do an all mailbag episode in 2 weeks.
And I guess a little bit of probably the like critical response, the public response to that finale is going to be,
yeah,
of interest to us. So we'll,
sure,
we'll get a little, yeah, get a chance to reflect on that as well. But we have some emails this week that we're going to deal with.
Sort of more relevant to the last episode, to clickrightbarelyknow@gmail.com. I'm going to attribute this to Becky and Kenneth, two of the people who said this, but a few people said it, that the poster that Tommy hated so much that we had to cut out the section of the podcast where he cried angrily for like 3 hours yelling about it.
It was really embarrassing on his part.
I know, we were real troopers, me and Ben, like sitting through and going like, yeah, man, oh, that's so logical and makes sense. And like the tears are just emotion. That's fine. You're allowed to express
it
this way.
It was cringe, wasn't it? It was real cringe of me to react like that.
Yeah, we're only about being based on this podcast.
All right, we're back after cutting out the bit where Tommy cried about how we got mad at him for crying. the poster for something Wolf.
Dawn of the Wolf. Yeah, Becky and Kenneth reckon, yeah.
It was a direct Easter egg lift thing from one of the sort of joke fake movie posters in the game, which none of us picked up on. And then Steven, among others, was one to point out that Macho Nacho, same thing. It's sort of a Naughty Dog universe pretend restaurant. They mention it in Uncharted as well. So it's all like a lot of, it's very telling that if you drop in an Easter egg to a video game, it seems breathtakingly stupid. Notably, world illusion, suspension of disbelief, shatteringly dumb. But thank you, everyone. Pointed those out. It is cool that they do that.
Yes.
Casey said about, and maybe others, Casey sent a photo, though, of a food court shopping center merry-go-round for us that looked fucking identical somewhere outside of Boston to this one. So apparently they're a very common thing, especially in the early 2000s, which is a cool little detail of that.
Yeah.
And also I saw a lot of people sort of pointing this out on Twitter, and it was really cool seeing this perspective. And I'll say Mary also sent out a similar point of view, just kind of particularly liking Bella Ramsey and Storm Reid. I'll say what Mary said here. Bella Ramsey and Storm Reid have captured adolescence and my experience of teenage longing perfectly. And that's something I've seen echoed a lot, similar to, I guess, that third episode, but even more specifically, like, that's what it felt like and what I looked like being a teenage lesbian, which is cool, I think.
Right.
To have captured the exact thing for what I saw to be quite a large number of people. And also skipping over the thing that, because the episode did this, and I didn't really think about it until this episode we just saw, because it kind of becomes relevant again, that Ellie had to kill Riley after she turned, and that was that person who she'd killed before, who she like mentions to Joel at some point.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I had to kill
right,
people
yeah.
before. They obviously don't show that in that episode, but I had sort of just, I guess, gone to my own conclusion that, like, oh, I guess the Fireflies showed up and did it or something. And it's sort of in my own head, too, skimmed over that little detail about what Ellie's had to go through.
But, yeah, it makes sense, right? Like, she couldn't, she lived in the quarantine zone. There was no one else that she could have killed, probably.
And they leave, like, days after that event, right? Because
exactly, yeah. She's put right in the, she's locked up straight away in that room by Marlene. So, yeah. Yeah,
which becomes very crucial to what Ellie's doing here in this episode, because it's not the first time she's even had to kill anyone in this show, but the things that happen in this episode and what we'll talk about soon, she has to kill for like a real different reason, and it's a real, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Just wanted to mention again, Andrew, who's emailed in before, he worked on the show, and he mentioned that the mall from last week was a fully functional mall, but was on the verge of being demolished. So the whole crew were actually like allowed to go in and like fuck it up, smash it up, and
that would
some
have been
of the
so fun.
I know. Oh, I man. Was incredibly jealous of that experience. Some of the stores were just the stores that were in the mall, and some of them they, yeah, like redid to match the era that it would have been when the mall fell into disrepair in the world of the show, which sounds like a fucking awesome job doing like the set dressing and prop stuff for this.
I don't know how legal this was, but
okay.
When I was younger, someone had an 18th and they knew someone who was a builder, I guess. There was a house that was going to be demolished, same thing. And they were like, do you want to have your 18th in this house that's going to be demolished? Ooh. And you can do whatever you want to it because we want to knock it down. And literally, fuck. We were jumping through the walls. And it was the funnest shit. I don't remember the second half of it for some reason after we got to the roof. But yeah, it was a good time. So, man, I'm jealous of the production crew.
Yeah,
they could have they could have shared some like some of the budget with if there's any new Jackass stuff in the pipeline. You know how they love to do their big set pieces in the movies where they've just got a set where like a tidal wave comes through, so they get the mall, they do that, then they've got the Jackass footage, and then now mall is completely fucked up and usable in a post apocalyptic sense.
Fuck. Do it for season two.
Yeah, that's why Steve-O was in the background of one of the shots. You can't, you blink and you'll miss it, but he was there. That was actually just Bam Margera attacking Riley.
A couple of little bits of housekeeping to clean up from last week. Steven and Kylie both emailed in to say they know the week that a Calgarian wears their cowboy hat. It's the Stampede Week. There is an actual week, which is hilarious. It's a massive like rodeo festival sort of thing, which is very funny. And awesome. And fuck, was there some other thing? Oh, we had a Victorian listener email in. It was Laura, who said that there was a carousel in Chadstone in the 90s.
Yeah.
In Melbourne. So, yeah, not as crazy as I think I only thought. I think you guys were a bit more like,
yeah,
oh,
it
normal.
Never, I never questioned it because it seemed so normal.
Yeah. I spent so much time at Chadstone in the 90s, and so I loved the blow-by-blow description of what shops it was near, what you walked past to get to that area from Laura. It really took me back. It was very
brilliant.
Evocative stuff. So
beautiful email.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Laura, and everyone who's emailed in. I unfortunately was raised in a cannibal cult, so I was not allowed to go to Chadstone. So that explains sort of, you know, where I'm at with regards to carousels.
That's a crazy coincidence because
this week's
episode, which everyone will have watched, and they can send emails to us at clickeribarelyknower@gmail.com. Those ones we just read, and we'll do a full bonus episode about them. But Ben, this episode's about a cannibal cult.
Going to Chadstone.
That's
right. I just watched it, like both of you guys did. So yeah, episode 8. I've already forgotten the title. When we are in need.
It's the thing that's written on the big poster and that he's reading from the Bible. I don't remember if it's actually in the verse, but it's in that big sort of poster thing they've got hanging above the dining hall when we're in need.
He the will sheet,
provide.
The graffiti sheet. Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, this episode, just to off the top, so we know, and everyone listening knows, the lead cannibal, David, is played by Scott Shepherd, who I thought was fantastic.
His name's Shepherd?
Yeah. His name's Shepherd.
He fucking says actor. Oh man. No wonder he got the job.
And then his
poor
little
fucking
Lucky James.
Billy Sheep sitting out in the audition room being like, oh, I shouldn't even be here.
At least I'm gonna be part of the cult, I guess, a background extra.
I've gotten two people mixed up as well. Billy's last name is Goat. I'm wrong about.
And it's even crazier because his first name is Scott, and he's got people following him in this town.
God,
this
damn.
Is insane. This God is insane damn. Casting.
What a week of coincidences. And then, his lucky James is played by Troy Baker, who voices Joel in the show. So that we knew he was going to be in the show.
In the game.
In the game, sorry. Yeah. Voices Joel in the game. He doesn't voice the... Yeah, okay. but yeah, so Scott Shepherd, great performance. And then, yeah, a little for fans of the game, Big Troy is little James.
Also great performance.
Yeah, I really liked it. I didn't recognize him initially. And so when I was going through the IMDb, I was pleasantly surprised by, yeah, his performance.
Yeah, so we open up with Scott Shepherd as David, the head cannibal. And you don't want to call yourself your head cannibal around the cannibals, though, or their mouths start a-watering.
Yeah.
He's doing a Bible reading to everybody in this town, and it's clear that it's a mourning situation. This girl...
Sun's just come up.
It's early in the day. The two words of that meaning of that sound. Mm-hmm. Her dad's dead. She's fucking given a big whinge about it. It's ridiculous. She's really Tommying it up over there.
Yeah.
Crying is wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone's, you know, sort of, I guess, sitting mass. I've never been a religious person, but sitting around and having a funeral, essentially.
Yes.
For this dead man. And we've got, this preacher, leader type of guy, very off-putting straight away to me, the way this guy is. Just, and it becomes, you know, more and more emphasized over the show, but he has just a vibe already of, like, I guess quite literally holier than thou type of...
Mm. And having a strange sort of grip over these people that is not necessarily based in religion. It's based in something else.
Totally. You can sense this sense of unease beyond it just being a funeral that is there for these people.
100%.
And that's David. He tells the wife of the dead man, you know, hey, we'll get through this and everything. And then down to business with James, who comes out and tells him about how the stores are getting low. They've got maybe a week left of venison. I think they're even calling it venison at this point. And that they tried to go, maybe some people saw a couple deer like three miles east, but it was nighttime. Who knows? This town seems kind of fucked. It's the middle of winter. It looks so fucking cold. Everyone's faces are red as hell. They're fucked here.
They're so embarrassed they're so cold.
We really get like such a good sense. I mean, it wasn't the last episode, but the last, like, in terms of timeline of the show, the last thing we saw was Jackson, where this is sort of a similar thing. It's a little town. It's full of people. They've got their own thing going on. It's pretty self-sufficient. But Jackson, it's like people are having fun. They're out in the streets. They're watching movies. This is just like... Every time you see people interacting here, it's like they're in a room, David is talking and no one else is, or they're all just sitting there in silence. It's like this is not, these people are getting by and that's it. They are not focusing on, like, let's try and get a little civilization going or anything.
Do you know,
that.
I guess, like, because the vibe I got off of them is like they're all a lot compared to Jackson, like there's more hair on their faces and they're dirtier and they're tired looking. And it looks a lot more, you know, because Jackson's thing made a big point of like, we're a communist society. So if you're talking about systems, it looks way more feudal. They look like peasants and a ruler in this shitty town where it's a completely different season to Jackson 2, which makes a big difference. It looks fucking freezing and everyone's sick of it. And even this guy, James, who you can tell is like kind of right-hand man shit. He's the guy who he talks to straight away. Is like teetering on had enough of it.
Yeah, which David confronts him about. He's like, I need to know you're still with me. And he's like,
Yeah. And you're right. Sure. It's that, like, he uses faith. He goes like, do you still have faith? And he's just been talking about God, but he means him. He's talking about him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. So James, unconvincing. But you know, they're still mates, and David kind of ominously is like, "Well, let's go hunting then. Let's get a gun, and you walk in front of me. Just, you know."
Let's talk about some old memories, and you look out at the lake. Unfortunately, near the lake is still Joel and Ellie. Joel is fucking full of pus.
Yeah, it's disgusting. He's been sewn up, but he's still got a bullet inside him, right? As far as I can tell.
No, because he had the cricket bat.
No, he got He got stabbed.
Or the baseball bat, I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because that's why it gets so infected.
The cricket bats.
Yeah.
One Australian. That'd be a big hole. That's right, that's right. So it's, yeah, it's just the entry wound, but it's gone all gross and yucky. And,
it's disgusting.
Yeah, clearly he
I loved this
some...
moment of Ellie leaning in to say, to, and just like whispering to Joel, I'm going to be right back, okay? Like a little, you know, like he's a little baby. Where you're just like leaving the room for like 5 minutes or something.
He totally is. Like, nice he can't drink water. He won't eat. She leaves like a little bit of beef jerky or whatever they've got on his on his little baby blanket. And he's fucked. He's like in and out of consciousness. He's unable to speak. He's really going to die here.
Yeah.
So she goes out looking for, and they've just run out of food, you can tell. So she goes out with his rifle and, is hunting in the most beautiful woods.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
The drone shots, I loved this. I loved all this stuff.
Every time I see.
Reminded me of being a cult in a cult of cannibals where I lived out in the forest.
This is the bit that reminded you of that?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
crazy that you're already connecting with this episode at this point, this early on. Like,
I mean, it
you
was my
have
favorite
no idea
thing
what's
about
coming
it.
Down the line.
It was my favorite memory of being in that cult. It was the beautiful drone shots.
The
we
woods.
Used to take.
Oh, the drone you had. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how the leader got you in. He bought you all a drone, and you were like, "Man, this guy's awesome. He's got our best interests at heart."
That would actually work drones. On me now. If you're coming along and being like, "Hey, what's up? We're the PS5 cult."
Yep. You get to live in a cabin out in the woods and fly a drone around and play video games.
Yeah, like, at that point I'd be downside? Like, you don't even need to trick me about the crook shit. I'm just in.
I'm keen to see what human tastes like. Let's do it.
Yeah, you've bought me.
Yeah.
Ellie's out there having a walk around in these beautiful woods. Whenever I see proper winter where it snows and shit in any TV show, I always think, like, I should move somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. I think I'd fucking love it. A snow day?
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. You can move to Mount Buller. It's real close.
Yeah, I don't... That's the problem with any plan I make. It's just not going to happen. But
it's just not going
to... Ellie's
there's
out
no
there
making...
Ellie's making plans too to kill a rabbit and a deer. She's hunting. She nails the deer, kind of.
Yeah.
But not in a place to bring it down and the thing runs away. She rejoins the deer's body at the same time as David and James... who are there a little bit earlier, but she gets the drop on them, drop the guns, and now we've got ourselves a good old-fashioned winter standoff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And David's like, hey, everything's fine. What are you talking about? Chill out. Chill out. Get it? Chill out. he points around at the snow. But yeah, he's trying to manipulate her straight off the bat, right?
It's his initial instinct, seemingly. Yes, he's a big old manipulator with the soft voice. And the, hey, it's all okay. We're all trying to get along here. We've got women and children who need the food. We definitely need it way more than you, and there's no chance we're giving you this. But we can trade you for some bullshit that we don't care about that we'll take back off you anyway when we get first chance.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty cool that she says to him, make any moves and I put one right between your eyes, which is like a line that gets used quite commonly in media of this situation. Mm-hmm. But she hasn't seen any of that.
Man.
She's just cooked that up off the top of her head. That's cool as hell.
Yeah. Her vocab for being, you know, a post-apocalypse baby, she talks like a 1920s gangster in this scene where she's like, hey, buddy boy, put down the rifle there.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre that Ellie Capone shows up.
I guess
she
reads a lot of comic books, and I guess maybe there's probably some old ones in there. There's some old Superman comics.
True.
And she's got these fucking like Henny Youngman joke books are a favorite genre, so it makes sense that
she's talking like fucking Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I was born in the wrong era, pre the fall of man.
The L say to the word elicit? I'll put one right between your eyes.
Okay. There's two L's in elicit.
man.
Okay. How did you start it?
It's got to
be something going right between some eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What did the nose say?
What did the what?
I'll put one right between your eyes.
What Tommy said, but with the word Philip. Because sometimes there's only one L.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll edit that. I'll fix that up in post.
And we're back after Tommy crying for 4 hours about his joke.
Put me crying in. Yeah, put more crying in.
Done.
They have this little standoff here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. David, very, you know, creepy diffusing. You can tell there's something not, even though he hasn't technically done anything yet. I suppose it's the way, especially James, who is clearly close to him, the way James looks at him is like there's some shit beneath the surface. That's maybe the biggest alarm bell. Is
yes.
This guy's looking at David like he's a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he still does have like a very kind of calm,
yeah,
sort of pleasant way of interacting where you can see why people would kind of fall under his spell.
Absolutely.
Like he's not abrasive. He's not intense. He's just very like, yeah, rational. Very, he's really similar to I'm forgetting her name, Mary Linsky's character.
Oh, Kathleen.
In that Kathleen, yeah, yep. Just like regular kind of soft-spoken, mm-hmm, chilled out neighbor person who went evil when things went to shit.
And it makes a ton of sense when he says he was a teacher later and all of that. Like,
yeah,
he does seem like that type of guy. And you're right, if this weren't a show where things are being framed a certain way, like coming across this guy being the one who's threatening your deer catch, it would be a bit of a relief. He's like, look, I got people, I don't want to fuss.
Right.
We can sort this out. And so he sends Buddy Boy to go get some penicillin from the town, mm-hmm, and bring it back. And it, like, Ellie lets her guard down a little bit over this because, like, she unloads the guns and she's doing a, you know, pretty capable, smart thing. But eventually they're sitting next to a fire warming their hands, which is when, yeah, David tells her the story of, like, hey, I kind of found God after the end of the world. It's everything happens for a reason. I'm so sure of it.
Yep.
She's like, oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, and he goes, what if we go over here? And she's like, okay. And so he must be thinking, we're on here, boys. We are absolutely on.
Right. Yeah, yeah. They set a little fire and you're right. He does test how much she's going to listen to him, I suppose, mm-hmm, with that. But she's still got the gun trained on him while he's telling her, like, I was a teacher back before this and now you're right, I'm a preacher. And she's like, why'd you do that? Because it rhymes?
It's a very good question.
It is.
I think he did it because both teachers and preachers love to molest children.
Now, where are you getting... Yeah, it becomes very clear that this... And I think Ellie has a similar suspicion, right? She's like...
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, not even just how come you found God, that seems ridiculous in the world we're living in today, but also like, that seems like a big shift. Like, teachers are still probably useful these days.
Right, right.
I don't know. But, yeah, she's got the gun on him, and he tells her everything happens for a reason, is what he thinks and why he kind of believes in God. Mm. For example, I sent 4 people out, the same number of people who showed up when you guys were at that university, and one of them ended up dead. Crazy thing about that is, God told me that there was a crazy guy who killed one of them, and he was with a little girl much like yourself.
Twist alert.
The way this was done was sick. I loved it. Like the sudden realization and threat, and like then, all of a sudden that's when James is back and David's like, you can put the gun down. Like,
yeah,
that turn was like stomach sinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really well done. I'd forgotten a lot of the content of this section of the game and was, really along for the ride for this. And, yeah, I totally agree. Really felt that one in the gut.
Mm. Something about, like, a tense standoff where all you can hear in the background is, like, the crackling of a fire does it for me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. James is back. But then, again, David diffuses the situation in kind of a strange way.
Yeah, so he gets David to hand the medicine over and Deli runs off with it. He's like, don't, but I suppose, and we find out later that he is aware they can track her pretty easily to wherever she's going, but
yep.
His goal here is certainly not to harm her yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Or to do anything that he would see as harm to her.
Right, right. Yep. Because I'm sure, like, yeah, James is thinking, like, what? This, we know this girl's probably dangerous. Why don't I just plug her one in the back of the head and we move on?
Like, or make her show us where the guy is as well, for sure. Like, do something. Keep her in her sight. Don't give her enough time to go and deliver enough penicillin to this dude to get him to be the most dangerous man in the country again.
Yeah. So she's got the penicillin, but she got no idea what to do with it. So she's just chonking at it straight into the wound area and just plunging away.
She hasn't learned much since the from the time she just smeared her blood on Sam.
She's not a fucking doctor.
She's not a doctor.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I was freaked out by this too. Like, I didn't see her do the little extra squirt that you got to do with a needle. I didn't see her flick it.
Yeah.
Like, not only is she not a doctor, she's never even seen a doctor movie. I'd squirt and flick. I don't know what the fuck it does. I know it's about air bubbles, but
I feel like the squirt is not something that happens in real life because you're just wasting it. But
you
got to
waste a little to
flick,
get the air.
You
got to
make sure there's not air in it. Yeah,
I assume it's like a fake thing that is only in TV shows. Doctors out there, nurses, email in. Let us know. Clear it up once and for all. Do you do the squirt? Do you do the flick? Is that a myth?
You do the flick for long enough, then you do the squirt. So
okay, all right.
No, that's a myth. It's a myth. It's a myth. It's all a myth.
she gives Joel some random amount of medicine in seemingly the most logical part of his body, the part where it needs it.
Yep.
And lies down with him to rest. Meanwhile, back in the town. Back in
it's slop time.
Oh, grub's on. Ding, 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 soup's up. Yeah, the poor fucking wife is the one who's carrying this bucket of meat.
Yeah.
Or no, is seeing this bucket of meat getting carried in by another guy who, like, when she asks him what it is, his eyes, like, his attitude, I don't think this literally happens, but his attitude is that of a cartoon character lying, eyes darting back and forth, sweat dripping down his forehead. Like, it's deer meat. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. It's not people.
This might be the grubbiest hour of television I think I've ever seen. Between the meat and the medical stuff and then stuff that happens, literally every scene had something. And I know this isn't a pleasant show at the best of times, but boy, this really had, every second had something so objectionable in it to me.
Yeah, all the grubby looking people, the the overgrown beards, everything's unkempt. And everyone in the background just looking sad all the time. It is grub central. Yeah.
I suppose, because with this sort of, religious leader and the way that it is very pilgrimy. It's that type of old America.
Yes.
Just where dangerous,
half of
people.
The settlements, half of the settlements did end up in people just dying of starvation. So very apparent parallel there.
And plus, I was drinking Adelaide tap water while I was watching this, so I was sickened on all fronts, but taking it in from all angles.
That is the chopped up people of water. But she's having she's grabbing her dead husband's meat.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think, that was the guy Joel choked out.
Yeah, yeah. I do love that. I love how that connection is kind of, it makes the whole thing even worse. But
And it makes sense too, and it's fucking disgusting. And you really, this, so they're all eating dinner in this sort of community hall, whatever it is type of space they've got. They're all getting, there's plenty of meat. They got 5-10 cans of tomatoes yet. They've got an okay dinner here.
Yeah.
Jack and David come back with the deer and no one's super thrilled about it, which, sets David on saying, well, you might have heard already, yes, we've kind of come across the people who killed whoever, the guy who died from us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find them in the morning. Don't worry about it. And if any of you pipe up, I'm going to slap you with the back of my hand. Now, I don't know if she didn't hear the last bit, but daughter of the dead man is like, you should kill both of them.
Seems, a little violent, honestly, but in the context of things, not a crazy thing to say.
I wouldn't and what have thought, he's planning on doing anyway.
Right. I wouldn't have thought it deserves a backhander.
And because when he's talking to Ellie a little earlier about, you know, the story of his group and everything, which, by the way, she lies and said, oh, we've got a group too, but
oh yes,
I guess they just also know. Well, that's not true because we're pretty sure we know who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
He has told Ellie that, like, well, we started off here someplace ages away and slowly over time after that fell, we've moved up the country and been attacked by raiders and whatever. So this girl's probably seen her share of violence happen too, as of most other people who are right. still alive in this world.
Yep.
So, and you know, her dad's been killed by this guy, I guess it's, but yeah, it's something that would have to be an order from the top that she has suggested, so he can't be seen to be taking an order from one of his flock, right?
Right, yeah, totally.
I'm just trying to very easily get into the mind of a cult leader here.
I'm sure, like, this must happen, you know, in a bunch of different situations where you're, like, the leader of a group where things are getting desperate and more desperate, and your perception probably is, like, well, if I don't keep them under control, then everything's going to go to shit.
Yeah.
People are going to start being like, this guy's no good for us.
Sure. I'm going to take all of the stuff that's left and, you know, so like, it's again, a psychopathic thing, but.
Everyone is sitting here eating in silence. There is no chatter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is no sense of like, hey, you know, we're doing all right here. We've got a little community. We've got our, you know, we've got friends. We've got some of us have family still. It's just, right. It's like terrified, silence.
Totally, because he comes in and he's like, well, you've probably heard the rumor, but it feels like at least some of it is that people kind of know what's up with this sudden meet they've got here.
Right, right.
Because he's like, you know, been like, oh, it's too cold to dig right now. We'll bury him later. And like, what do you mean too cold to dig?
Yeah. And like, as we see later on again, there's a few people who have been hung up to dry.
At least three, so, right? Like, that's, yeah. I think, how many we see.
Yeah.
And those, they seem to have a lot of meat on them still.
Yeah.
So it's got a bit, people kind of know the score here, and the fucking sign, people know what it's about. He will provide. Right. David's talking about his fucking self. He doesn't give a shit about God.
Yeah.
But same as with a lot of these things, people just, you want to survive, and this seems like a way to do it. So you join a group and don't think about if you want to be there or not.
Yeah.
But he sits down and eats, you know, a pretty big meal with these people. Is like slaps the girl and he's like, I know he doesn't even address the point of the slap, but he's like, I know that you're upset because you think you've lost a father, but great news. Here's some wonderful news for you. You got this maths teacher creep as a fucking father now.
I'll always be your father.
And he sits down with them and it's. You know, you don't know the backstory too much of these people, obviously, but I like the way that you can feel, just from how much attention everyone's paying to this and him immediately sitting at this table and the way that the wife of the dead guy's looking at him. Clearly, he's been fucking up to something with this family already.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They say a little grace. They eat a little human being.
Mm-hmm.
David's very smiley. And
he's loving it.
Oh, he's having the time of his life. You think this isn't better than 6x6? 100% is. It's what?
All right. It's 36.
And we're back after the 4 hours we cut out of Tommy trying to figure out 6x6. Brought him to tears, but that's okay, Tommy. So sort of next morning, Joel is still completely out of it. Ellie wakes up and gives him some more penicillin, but he, like, is dead to the world. Not literally.
Yeah.
But he's sleepy. What is he, a bloody... what are you, a teen... I thought I was the teenager Joel. It's morning. Time to get up, Joel.
Oh, come on, Joel. I'm a teenager and I'm up.
I hated that shit so much. God, I fucking hated that when I was a teenager. Yeah. Yeah, our bodies are different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sleeping's really good.
Yeah.
Being in bed's great.
This is actually natural, and it's fucked up to make me get up and go to school. Like, we literally should have it later. The only reason it's earlier is so that you can get to work, motherfucker, which I appreciate. Thank you for going to work. Anyway.
Well, now Ellie's going to work.
Yeah.
She is. She's giving the horse a little ice to drink.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yep.
Little and slush puppy for it.
Oh, delicious. 7-Eleven, half off day.
That's going to keep that horse going for at least a few more days.
Yeah. That horse will have enough energy to run, not quicker than a bullet, but very quick.
No, unfortunately.
But some birds fly up in the sky, nature's alarm system, and there's a search party out with David and Jack both at the front of it, looking for Ellie and Joel.
Yep.
And they've come in exactly the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David is saying, make sure the girl's alive. We don't want to hurt the girl. Mm-hmm. And Jack, understandably,
James.
Is like, sorry, James. I keep wanting to call everyone fucking Jack. Cool name.
Yeah.
James is
all right, Jack. Whatever you want to do, Jack.
How about we just kill the girl? Maybe that's what God would want. And that suggestion that, like, okay, well, what if God's plan is to fucking kill her and your plan is not God's plan? Or it riles up David.
David's like, what do you mean? I am God. It's my plan.
There's a stern look being shot right back. If I could shoot lightning out of my thunder like I used to be able, I mean lightning out of my fucking fingers, which I call thunder, I'm gone. Ellie scrambles away and... Sorry.
She leaves him the knife, right? She leaves Joel a big old knife, just pats it onto his chest. He's still pretty fucked. He's flickering, though. You know, he's semi-conscious. But she...
Not quite there, but like... Yeah, she tries to jostle him up and says, don't fall asleep, but he's... fucked. He's had two shots of way too much penicillin and air jammed straight in his gut.
Yep.
He's not squirting, that's for damn sure. Well, he's squirting out of his pores. He's got sweat beading down the face.
Damn.
Yep. It turns
Find
out.
Find you a guy who can get that to happen.
It turns out that's a sign of you healing.
It must be. He's not got much left in his wellness journey.
Yeah.
He's towards the end now of his wellness journey. But for now, like, Ellie can't wake him. She leaves him the knife, drags like a cupboard in front of the door to try and hide him. And she's like, I'm going to go and try and lead them away. Don't go to sleep. They're fucking here. I'm off.
Stay awake, you son of a bitch.
You sleepy little
you dare
teen.
Not off.
I'm going to go do my favorite thing, which is shoot behind me.
Oh, good.
I think this
back
is the third time Ellie's done the backwards shooting that never gets anyone.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she tries to make a break for it and create a diversion on the horse. And turns out James, hell of a hunter.
Yeah. Yeah. He takes that horse down.
Great shot.
No problem.
He's doing
brutal,
the breathing
brutal
shit.
Shot.
He's doing the.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The sniper stuff.
If you're
trying
to
brutal,
get a.
Huh? It was a. I said brutal shot. I meant like the camera shot of the horse fucking cratering into the ground and Ellie flying off into the snow.
Yeah,
real yucky.
Yeah. The animal stuff in this is horrendous because
the
deer looks like a deer crumpling with a shot. The puppets, I assume puppets they've used for the deer look like and for the horse later. But yeah, this horse, it looks like a horse getting shot.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Mm.
And
but
Ellie
he nails the shot.
Plants.
Horse goes completely down. Ellie goes flying to the point where she's.
And
like,
looks like she gets fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. She's knocked out by it. Like she's kind of awake for a second, like, oh no.
Oh no, shit.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh,
but she's out. And David's like, three of you stay here, have a look around the town, look for the guy. Mm-hmm. Two of you drag the horse back. And I'm going to carry this girl back home to my lair. And don't tell anyone in the village that I call it a lair.
So what happens next? Do we get Joel stuff?
Yeah.
These guys are on the hunt.
Who are looking around the town.
Right.
He tells them to go door to door. So they're,
I know. The instruction is go door to door. One of them, first door he opens is the right door. Yeah. He's in the house. Yeah. And fuck, he's observant. He noticed. I would never would have seen the door behind the shelf. I wouldn't have thought to look.
No. There. No, no, neither.
But he's straight in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I reckon they've found some people before.
That's true. Because that's the other thing is, you know, he says, again, when David is telling Ellie about the story of like, yeah, raiders kept coming for us, so we kept having to move. We picked up some people along the way. You get a better picture now that you see them moving, like, oh, well, some of them were the raiders.
Sure, totally.
It seems you were, like, essentially raiders.
Right.
Because surely you beat all of those raiders who showed up. And the ones who were like, no, no, please don't kill me, they're sitting around here eating grub now.
Yeah, they're eating Jerry grub.
They're eating Jerry. But the guy finds the basement almost straight away.
Finds Joel, a disgusting blood-stained, pus-stained mattress.
Well,
yeah.
In my notes here, it says he finds a regular mattress. Mm. A mattress that looks like how all mattresses look.
Interesting.
Bookshelf
that's what I wrote down.
With propped up with milk crates.
Yeah, normal.
Crusty old towel on the end of it.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that was Bill weird Murray and it poster. Did take me out of it is that there weren't any anime. All right, we both went to the same.
I just cut out the 30 minutes of Tommy doing his "Don't fuck a guy if he doesn't have a bed frame."
But yeah, Joel, up and about. Luckily,
yeah.
Hiding behind like a water heater, I think, knifes this lad right in the throat and watches him die lying on the ground. Yeah. It is disgusting and brutal and long.
Talk about a whole fucking grubby ass hour of TV. Everything Joel does is pretty fucked up in this episode too.
Absolutely. But you know, in his head, I'm sure he's saying, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
Oh, 100%. Back this is to like before he had a young girl to teach him the ways of being kind and emotional. Back to when he used to just fucking pop guys' kneecaps off.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, his whole time, right? Because we hear about like Joel used to be fucking crazy back in the day a bunch of times, and he was crazy because he couldn't defend someone he had a daughter bond with, his daughter.
Yes.
And now by the end of this episode, it's clear he got a new daughter, so Crazy Joel is back to defend that daughter. And if there's a daughter again, we're going to get double Crazy Joel, surely.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we see here, with him just like knife in the throat and kind of no real emotion on Joel's face as he's dying, just like, this is practical shit. Mm-hmm. Hope I'm well enough to deal with this.
Right.
He's basically just woken up in the middle of this scenario and gone, well, it's stabbing time. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who these people are. I don't even know where I am.
Yeah,
but
true.
I got this little thing on my chest, so it's time to go to Shank City.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ellie has been brought back to Cannibal Village and is waking up from her horse fall in like a storage cage that is being used as a regular cage.
A prison. A regular Laurel prison human cage, yeah.
And David does just his absolute best job of being the creepiest dude you've ever seen.
Yeah, this was the most unpleasant scene in the whole show.
Yeah, so there's a couple of them sort of separated by more of the Joel. I guess we kind of go back and forth here.
Right.
And this first one, he's like a bit less. He's like, hey, I told everyone not to kill you. I'm your only hope here. Everyone else wants to kill you. So unless you basically do what I say, you're fucked. And she's like, yeah, well, I still got someone out there. And he's like, do you? How is he? I don't know. And she's just maintaining a line of fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, hopefully, but also you don't go my way, you're fucked, you're alone.
Right.
But the way he says that, especially, I want to find what the specific, if you can't find a way to trust me, then yes, you are alone. And it's like, this is such a fucking manipulator way of saying it. And I love the way he did it, where it's like, it's completely your choice what to do. And you're fucking up by not finding a way to trust me. Your sin of not allowing me to help you is ruining your chances. I just want to, you know,
Yeah, really.
This
gross.
Is a man who was stoked when the world ended because all of a sudden, guess what? There's no laws, and that suits me just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep, 100%.
Meanwhile, the other two people left in Joel City, they're hunting for him real poorly. He gets the jump two more times on these guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's good at this.
He's also had time to find a ton of duct tape.
Yes.
Good point. Yeah. I guess he would have had that sort of shit in his bag where, you know,
probably
Ellie would have stashed it with him, maybe.
He's used the whole damn roll, though.
If I was Ellie, I'd have covered up his shit with duct tape, his wound.
Oh, yeah.
Which probably would have hurt. Probably a bad idea, the glue or something. But so he's got that, and fuck me, is he using it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marco, right? Marco's and some other guy. Yeah.
Marco's tied to the piano, I believe.
Yes.
Or maybe he's in the chair. One of them's Marco, but
he's Joel the piano guy, I think, yeah.
Joel is full on torturing a man.
Yeah, he really is going full bore torture. He's really going fucking US Army in Afghanistan on this motherfucker.
He's built these two. If there were more than two, he would have made them into a pyramid here.
Yeah.
Because knife in the kneecap.
God,
I'll pull your kneecap off if you don't tell me what I want.
Yep.
And like, just got no fucking time for them. He's screaming at him, where is she? What town? Yep. And he gets it out of this person, does his map trick again of like, you better show me the right place as the other guy.
Mm-hmm. I love this. He's got like a classic move that he defaults to.
Yeah.
You tell me where and it better be. Like at first when this came up, I was a bit like, this is a little sloppy. It's just the shit he's done before. But then it's like, no, Joel's not the smartest guy. It's like he's got a very limited repertoire of tricks. And that's his go-to.
It seems to be an effective tactic too. Like the guy shows him and then also I don't know what way around it you'd ever be able to do.
The left turn of him being like, yeah, you know what? I'll take your word for it. I'm not doing the whole trick. I'm just going to kill you guys.
That's
another awful character moment for Joel.
That's the thing that happens is like this guy shows him and immediately knife in the gut and then straight over to the other guy with a big metal bar and the guy's like, he told you it. I'm going to tell you the same thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I believed him.
Mm.
It's all good.
Yeah.
And then
meet Mr. Pole.
Yeah. Clonks these guys. And it's brutal. Joel, we've seen, Joel be violent plenty, but this is the proper, like, Geneva Convention shit that clearly is what, you know, Tommy must have told Maria about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That makes her have that reaction to him showing up of like, be fucking careful around him.
Yeah. Yeah. Which fair enough.
Well, and you know, you're right. This was tough to watch, but I mean, it's a scene of a man torturing two other men. You would have to assume that it's not going to get any worse than this in this episode. Like,
What
you
could
would
they
think
possibly
this
do?
Is the this is the extent of it, surely.
Oh, Tommy,
how much
Tommy.
More can we as an audience possibly take?
Oh, brother. You didn't watch the next scene? Oh, Marone. Okay, let's stop. Let's let Tommy watch it.
No, I turned it off. I was like, yeah, I get the gist. Let's do the pod. Come on, boys.
Because this is
Quick
the thing.
Game's a good game.
Like, we see this stuff from Joel and it's brutal. But then when you see what he's racing to try and save Ellie from, it's like, okay, I get how.
Yep.
Like, I think this episode in particular, it shows the most brutal violence we've had so far, I think. And also, like, especially at the end, it's one of those things where it's like, I can't say if I would be any different.
Yeah.
What are you meant to do? What's the alternative is just to be dead or, you know, or worse.
Yeah.
So we cut back to Ellie in her cage. She's been she's got some of their famous silver like slop pushed under the crack in the door for her. She then
I loved
how this was done.
Sorry to jump in, but I did like that as a weird little detail of like with Silver Lake, because you mentioned Silver Lake, where he's like, it's not a town, it's a resort. And Joel being like, a resort? Like just that weird little point where like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved how this was done. Ellie kind of seeing something. And David following her her gaze and then seeing the same thing and going, oh, yeah, we left out the ear.
It's a big fucking thing to leave on the floor after cooking. Like, I've found a sliver of onion here and there from time to time. But an ear.
Yeah.
Wow.
A whole ass ear.
It is a big ear.
Mince up the ear, make bloody sausages out of it.
Surely, right?
Yeah. Don't let it go to waste.
Have a little bit of, what would you eat from an ear? You'd eat probably, like,
jeez.
I'm trying to think if there's like a, I mean, it'd make for a pretty sound meal.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
You see what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
I've heard this is really good. Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, it's gross. And David's like, yep. Yeah, I guess you saw it. This is just the deer. But if you want to judge me, and she's like, judge you? You're fucking eating people. What do you mean, if I want to judge you?
Yeah.
Big man letting me judge you for being a cannibal.
Which, again, like, there's stuff in real life where people have resorted to cannibalism. Mm. And it's awful, but it's, you know, he's such a fucking calculated, creepy guy where he's not telling anyone about it except for his little henchmen. It's just so, like, everything about him is distasteful, including the human food.
Which, hey, the problem with human food is this tastes good.
I know. You get apparently, once you have a little taste, you can't eat anything else.
And he does that fucking manipulator shit of like, well, I was going to tell you. Of course I would have told you. You because found out you about it, but like...
Because you're special. You would have been told about it because you're a big, important person.
How could you hurt me by thinking that I wouldn't tell you?
Oh, yeah.
And then he launches into the like, hey, I think you're special, exactly. I think you remind me of a young, very young me. I can see everything about you. I can see that you observe things. He's just listing all this fucking rant. Like, you don't know her from a bar of soap. What are you fucking talking about?
He's just trying to butter her up. Like, yeah, the absolute manipulator.
That's all
styles.
He does with people.
He loves to butter people up.
It's disgusting any way you do it.
That's right.
Other than to slide down a hallway or something is the one time I could think that it would be funny.
Yeah, Jackass style.
But he's like, hey, I struggled for a long time. I've got responsibility to my people here. First of all, he tries to justify with the food. And he's like, hey, I know these guys are all sheep. They mean nothing to me. I want another shepherd to be around, someone who's as cool as me and smart and special and clever and don't tell anyone. And then he's like, and I always dealt with violence, and I can tell that you've got a violence thing. And I loved it when the world ended because Cordyceps was like taught me about looking after family, and Cordyceps
that it's okay
does
to
what
be
it
weird.
Needs to do. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was creepy. Yes, him, you're probably going to say, Nox, the fact he identifies with a mutant fungus that's destroyed the entire world is, you know, tells you everything you need to know about the fucking guy.
A literal parasite.
Yeah.
And he's Cordyceps, it does what it needs to do to survive, and I think that's great. And so he...
Because his justification of, like, we need stuff to eat, so we've been eating some people. Mm. It's like, in this reality, like you said, Ben, some people in the real world do resort to this stuff. And, you know, you can... In the reality of this world, you can almost go, okay, I guess if you've got to stay alive. But then he's like... I love the cordyceps. I love the fungus. And also, this 12-year-old is sexy. It's like, oh, David.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Oh, David.
Resorting to eat people is a very last resort. It's survival. The world is crazy. There is something there that, of course, anyone can at least understand. But you've got three of them hanging up.
Yeah.
Well, what's that about?
Yeah.
And also, you do keep getting deer when you go out hunting. Yeah. So...
Right.
Someone said there's deer 3 miles away. How long does that fucking take to walk?
Yeah.
Go look for them.
Yeah.
You got 5 cans of tomatoes. You
they
don't need to put anything
people.
Else in there. Just be vegan for a day.
They love to
Why
eat
Why don't you
humans?
Eat those fucking mushrooms if you love them so much?
Yeah. The fact that, like, fucking even after the, like, even when the only meat is human, he's still like, no, I'm not eating that vegetarian shit.
Yeah.
But this fucking part with the hands on the railing here.
Oh yeah,
repulsive. Very well filmed, very well acted.
Very smart of Ellie, obviously, to appear to buy into this even, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
David falls for it.
Absolutely. And she fucking yanks his fingers back and snaps him, goes for the keys. Doesn't quite make it, unfortunately.
No.
But gives him a big fuck you, tell him Ellie's the name of the motherfucker who broke the finger. He calls her
a bit
cunt.
Of Heisenberg action.
Yes.
He gives her the very harsh American cunt, which as an Australian, you're sometimes like, oh, grow up, rest of the world. And then you hear someone use it like this, you're like, whoa. Yeah, no, that's the C word.
It's the fucking accent.
As an Australian, I was sort of back on board with him as an Australian. I was like, you know what? Yeah, this guy's cool.
Oh, it's a term of endearment.
Stop playing funny buggers with me.
No, I agree, Knox. It's the American accent makes it sound like the most venomous thing you can say.
Real fucking harsh. And he's like, let's see what I tell the others. You know, just real fucking... Like, I love that in such a fantastic... I mean, I don't love... But it's great how this show does in such a fantastical situation and for such over-the-top reasons, cannibals and zombies and all of that, shows you this guy who, like, oh, yeah, this guy from the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who's like, oh, you're so hot, you're so beautiful. Wait, you don't want to go on a date with me? Fuck you, bitch. You're a whore. You're a slut. He's that guy, right?
He's 100% that guy.
Yeah.
And Ellie's sick. The way that she yells at him, I loved. Yeah. It's another fucking one of those moments where Bella Ramsey's had a ton of them, gets another couple in this episode of just like real intense moment that she just does in a way that is so genuine and like this specific line in the game, not to, you know, do too much, but I didn't like the way that Ashley Johnson, who's great in the game, I didn't love the reading of this specific line for some reason. It just felt a bit cheesy. This is fucking great.
Yeah, this really worked. Everything about this, which I've forgotten all the specifics, but it's so well performed by everyone.
Including
Scott Shepherd. He does such a great job at making my actual skin crawl when he's on the screen.
He is really fantastic in this episode. We get Joel catching up to the town now. He finds the blood trail from the horse that they've dragged back here, and that leads him to the cannibal confirmation cabin.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These guys are 100% people eaters.
Yeah. They cut their damn heads off too.
I guess
brutal.
To bleed them, right? Like
to bleed them, and I guess to anonymize them so they're not looking at their mates' faces anymore.
Sure. I didn't even think about that aspect.
I mean, yeah. So, like, yeah, really dehumanized these fellow villagers into just big slabs of meat. Very gross.
And now that Ellie is nothing to him, now that she's not, you know, able to be manipulated, he also is like, right, well, fuck her too. And him and James come barreling in to chop her up, and it's fucked. Like, it really looks like two men trying to kill a child, this scene.
Yeah.
It's really fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And also James, like, you know, he's doubtful of him, but then the second he's like, hey, help me come kill this kid, James like, oh, yeah, I'll sprint.
Well,
I think do that.
That's what James is in favor of, right? He's like, I was downing you because you weren't killing enough children, you know, being harsh enough, you know, like we should be going out murdering people. So he's all for it. And I think often with a lot of horror movies, you feel the terror by the performance of the person who is scared in the thing. And Bella Ramsey, like you say, Knox, is nailing it this episode, looks fucking terrified.
Especially coming from, you know, that last moment of like she's got a broken nose and all this like defiant blood streaming down her face. And she's like yelling at this man. But then when she's, you know, suddenly overpowered, she gets a bite in, but she's thrown on this table and she's begging for her life, literally.
Yeah.
It's horrific. And very quickly, before the literal axe comes down, or I guess it's not an axe, it's some cooking knife.
Cleaver, right? Yeah.
Barely know her. She screams out, I'm infected.
Yeah.
Couldn't even eat me if you tried, I'm infected. And I bit you in the hand, so now you are too. And that does stop them for a second.
Mm-hmm.
enough time for, you know, him to inspect the wound of Ellie's and be like, I don't think that's real. She'd have turned.
Mm.
And for James to be like, well, I don't know, if that fucking, maybe we shouldn't. And it's enough time for her to just yank out, grab that cleaver and stick it straight in the fucking brain and neck of James.
Yeah.
Again, brutal, but necessary. And
That's the end of old mate Troy's performance, which, again, I thought he was really good, really convincing.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great actor in the game, too. Both of the people, if you've never played the game, I'm sure that whoever, maybe you're watching this with someone and they'll do it, but if you've never had this advice, after the show is finished, maybe look up a cutscene or two from the first game if you feel like it, just to get the comparison, because I think... Yeah, Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson, who are Joel and Ellie in particular, do such a great job in the game. Also, this guy, David here, is played by Nolan North, who was Nathan Drake in Uncharted in the game, if that makes sense.
Oh, right. Yes.
But Ellie scrabbles off. David fires off a couple of shots, but I guess that's all he got because he comes into this... I think it's that same dining room, right?
I think I could, so.
Yeah,
because it's got the thing hanging
the
there.
Banner.
It does too.
Yeah, that's right.
Which could well be in multiple places, but I think that's I think that's meant to be showing us that it's the same. It's the same.
And he comes out fucking real axe murderer style, proper stalking around this place. Ellie chucks a like lit sort of thing,
coal thing out of the kitchen.
The
yeah.
Sets the place ablaze. Joel's found her backpack, by the way, and he's off looking for her, but. David is stalking her through this burning building, and it is fucking crazy looking.
Yeah, it's like mentioning like horror movies. This is real like end of Nightmare on Elm Street movie fucking situation here. This is super high and super tense, really terrifying.
And this was a bit in the video game that was pretty divisive because it felt too much to people like a kind of boss fight kind of thing that went against the tone of this game, and so it's cool to see it work so well in the context of a TV show, because it was something that did divide a lot of people who were loving the rest of the game and felt like, oh, now I'm in this bit that obviously feels very video gamey when the whole rest of it kind of hadn't really as much.
And it fits better here, right? Because when the thing you know about a boss fight going into a game is that you will win. But the thing about a monster chasing you in a horror movie is like, the monster is stronger than me and maybe I'll lose. And that's what you're sort of getting here is this. He's doing the fucking big speech about like, I'm good. You don't even know me. I'm a good man. What's the secret to you getting out of it? Huh? Tell me how to do it. You're not so fucking special. Like doing a big speech. And he's like, you know what? I'll forgive you. If you come out, I'll forgive you. I'm going to keep you. You need a father, I'll teach you. Like, doing the classic bullshit, and Ellie gets a stab in to his abdomen, comes out swinging, not quite enough to put him down, and the machete goes flying, or the what type of knife again?
Cleaver.
Cleaver! A cleaver alone, in my opinion, let her crawl away, because she is...
Preach!
Going for this cleaver, and it is fucking horrifically done, this bit. Well done,
but so
scary. He climbs on top of her. He's and like Bella Ramsey's acting again is good enough to be really hard to watch.
Yeah, very upsetting.
He fucking throws in a line too, which is like, we get what's happening here, show, where he's like, you didn't think about the fact that the biting is the part I like the most. It's like, we already know what the fuck's going on. Come on.
Could have dialed that one down a notch or two.
But, I mean, you know, he's crazy as hell.
Yeah, he's a crazy pedophile cannibal. I guess they'd be saying things like that. Yeah.
There's something wrong with his brain, specifically, that he's now got a cleaver in it.
Yes.
Because Ellie gets it at the last second and just fucking chops him up.
Chops him up big style. They do cut to the next shot of her just stabbing and stabbing and stabbing and stabbing and
hacking
for
away
ages.
At him. and this fire burning behind her. It's a really great image, and it's really well acted. But it's like, this is the fucking turning point kill or something for her. This is like a different type of thing.
Yeah.
Just, watching this, I've got this on, we kind of having it run in the background while we're doing this, and just because I've got the subtitles on, just as Ellie's stabbing away, just seeing the subtitle in brackets, David gurgling.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And rightly so, because that's the thing as well. You see this, you know, violence, but it's like, it's not her fucking fault.
No. It's the tragedy of this entire world that they've built is like, it's sad that this is necessary.
And there's this unleashing behind it that is almost something beyond David, where like she's had to kill at least Riley and at least the guy who she shoots to save Joel, who she didn't even really kill. She just shot him.
Yeah.
Those are the only people. One of them a mercy killing, one of them to save someone else.
Yep.
And this is still self-defense, but it's like this fucking outpouring of her like powerlessness in this world. She's fighting that whole fucking thing there. You can see that she's and unwilling to pull back at all, because you know she has no fucking option in a place like this. The world is literally on fire.
Yeah.
So she makes her way out, and Joel pretty stupidly just comes up and grabs her from behind. Like, maybe go, hey, Ellie, it's me, Joel.
Yeah.
But then they share this, like, fucking, like, she is screaming and get off me, and Joel's like, hey, it's me. And they have this moment here where properly they are, like, he says, like, it's okay, baby girl. He calls her the same thing he called Sarah.
Right.
He's saying, I got you. The way that she's looking at him is just with this, like, dependence and need.
Right.
And it's
security and safety is represented by this guy now.
100%. And she's so, it actually makes it, after the fucking shit she just went through, it's actually made it better to see him.
Yeah.
Like, it's a proper, like, closing point on their bond. It's fully, like, this is, for all intents and purposes, a father and daughter here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Is the way it comes across. And he chucks a jacket on her and they walk off into a lake.
Yep. Yeah. How are they going to get out of this one? There's all the other bloody cannibals hanging around. Surely.
The next episode's going to be underwater, maybe, is what that's trying to tell us.
Oh, yeah.
There is, like, obviously there are a lot of people in this town and none of them are a factor in this. I think it is a little bit of just sort of poetic license, I guess, that...
Probably, like, not everyone's on David's, you know, person-killing team, I guess.
Yeah, right. And the fire started pretty recently. Like, it takes you a minute to notice a fire, I guess, and we don't know what sort of span of space they're living over, but also David said he's the only one with keys. I like that as just a little thing where he's saying, you can't get out of here, I'm the only one with any keys. Like, you're the only guy who has keys to the community hall in your fucking town. Sick.
Right,
man.
Right.
Yeah. He's a dictator. Well, he was a dictator.
Yeah, he was fucking... The chopping and the everything from Bella Ramsey, this whole show has been so fucking good. And, like, the fact that her and Mr. Shepherd made that as... hard to watch as it was is such a fucking credit to the pair of them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. She just keeps getting better and better, and him for just a one-off ep. Yeah, yeah. He's great. Perfectly cast. Really sold the button down meek little man next door who just really lives it up in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
So I like the point where we're at now, where we've seen in this episode what Joel's capable of, what Ellie's capable of, how much they each mean to one another, and so, like, the extent that they will go to for one another, and now they walk off into the world, like, fully formed as a pair. We kind of know more than ever, like, I feel like we fully understand who Joel and Ellie are at this point.
Yes, 100%. It's cool to have seen that arc play out as well, in a really believable way. It was... I feel like, really well paced. And just such a explosive episode to end on that kind of like, yeah, catharsis and bonding is great. It's so convincing from all angles. We don't get heaps of Pedro Pascal like fully acting in this one. Most of it that we get is him being a cold-blooded murderer. So again, that tying into, you know, this feeling of paternal, you know, love and protection is complicated and weird.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool to see that play out even more. But yeah, really enjoyed everyone's contribution to this becoming coming to this point.
Seeing her like compared to the other little girl we see in this episode, right? Like get her being like, kill them both, they killed my dad, and like that just in this world kids are that's just, I suppose, in your nature if you've grown up in this world to be like,
yeah,
kill, revenge.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Death.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I also really like that Ellie kills David. Joel's there. Joel's coming to save her, and it's not what happens. Ellie does it and doesn't need Joel to save her, like, in that moment.
She's been saving Joel this whole past couple of episodes, or, you know, the bits that we've seen in last episode. She's been the one who's protecting him. She's been the one who's protected herself and has got him back on his feet.
And then the same as Joel, where he can fucking clearly look after himself. He can stab and kneecap and map point and do whatever. They're both very physically capable, but then the second that they reconnect, they're like, no. I like this is their, I don't know, like each other's reason for it at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
They're back into the default of how they both want the relationship to function. They know now that it can function in another way if it absolutely has to, but what they both want is to be, yeah, he wants to be looking after a daughter and she doesn't want to have to be into the position of
being alone,
having to do this stuff.
Totally. Right. That's what she was saying to him when she was in the cage. It's like, I'm not alone. He's like, well, you fucking will be if you don't rely on me, the fucking manipulator. Yeah. But Joel's not that. He's not. He's the exact opposite person, where he's an older man who has clearly Ellie's best interests at heart, right? Like the comparison between her being fucking under David's rule versus what she gets with Joel.
Yeah,
they're both people who exist. They're a similar age. They existed before the thing, and they're both taking her in, but in complete opposite ways. And then, yeah, like she got there with Joel sooner, where she was like, "No, I want you around. We should do this together." And he obviously took longer to do that because he was a more closed off person. But we see him at the end here. He's like fully like him calling her. It's okay, babe. Like that was the same shit he said to Sarah.
Right.
And you get the watch in the shot. Like, it's making it so his watch is so front and center, Sarah's watch.
It's transferred. He's transferred.
Yeah. He's pushed past his fucking walls and shit. And he's there.
Or, he's replaced that, you know, that hole. He's filled that hole.
Yeah. Or just is willing to have a second person create a new hole potentially.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
Good ep.
Liked it.
Great.
One left.
Yeah, liked it a lot.
Yeah.
We'll get into the quarantine zone in just a second. So if you are jumping out now, if we're going to talk about this episode as it relates to things in the video game that have not happened on the TV show yet. So if the TV show is all that you are interacting with, then jump out now. Get in touch with us if you would like to. clicker@gmail.com. Like we said, if you have any big overall thoughts of the show or any like interesting or funny discussion points, such as our where pop culture stopped in 2003. We've gotten a lot of things along that nature.
Yep.
Feel free to send them through. We'll probably dive into them more in 2 weeks' time in our mailbag episode. Any thoughts about this specific episode, we will read out at the top of next week. But loving hearing from you guys during the week. So yeah, please keep them coming. If you're leaving us now, we will see you next week for the finale episode of the TV series. But for all of you sticking around, lock the door, open the gates, then lock the gates again. And here we go in the quarantine zone.
That's
just
right.
To make sure, full spoilers for everything that's not been in the show, both
we'll
games.
Give you
this
time
is where we
to
are.
run to the Bluetooth speaker and hit stop or turn it off or unplug
it. Break into your neighbor's house. You've jacked into their podcast machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting their podcasts for free. And then you'll be real embarrassed to find out they're all free, buddy.
all but spoilers now, here. Yes, we're officially in the quarantine zone. So what do you guys got to talk about this week in the quarantine zone?
Well, I fucking loved seeing the Revengelly showing up.
Yep.
The way that Joel stood over the piano guy with the bar was so similar to in part two, her standing over, you know, the woman in the basement of the hospital.
Yes.
Who she's interrogating.
Nora. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yep.
Because that map technique, I don't remember if we talked about this when he was doing it with the couple in the cabin, is the thing that Ellie does in the fucking aquarium in part two.
Oh, yes. Right.
Sure.
With Owen. Yeah. And
Thingo, pregnant.
Meg? Martha? Something.
Some Mel? M name. That sounds... Mel. Mel sounds right.
It is Mel? Yeah.
Just seeing all of that, like, knowing where this violence and stuff is going.
Yeah.
Even in next episode for Joel, seeing him be brutal and the torture and everything, knowing what he does in a week's time.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah, you were kind of, like, I guess, hinting at it. We were talking around it a little bit of, like, the lengths he's willing to go to protect this girl who is now, you know, essentially his daughter.
Right.
We're going to see in a week.
And you're right. That's what I was thinking about. But like the show has made it so, has done such a fucking good job of properly establishing that bond so that it can create that question that people have with the game of like, did he do something fucking horrific or does it make sense to do that for your daughter?
Right.
The show's done a great job of getting into that point with way less time.
Agreed. Yeah.
What else?
It's like similar to last week. It's pretty much bang on the content of the game.
Yep.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have. Cool. I don't have much more in the way of thoughts other than stuff that we've already been speculating on the whole time of how we think. Yeah, the final episode might play out.
Mm. Yeah.
How season two might play out. We're getting these more and more little threads, but it's been keeping it pretty close to the pretty close to the script so far. So.
But totally, with similar thoughts that I think I've said, again, a few times now, but like with them having the opportunity to know where Ellie's character goes more, how they're peppering in that stuff, those little things of like, she's pretty full on too. And like,
similar stuff of like these people. Again, it is a little weird to me that they are kind of going after these same beats again. They did it with Kathleen and now they very explicitly do it here with these people going like this crazy man and this girl killed this guy who, you know, is part of our community. So we got to find them and get vengeance.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I do wonder how much they're like deliberately hitting that beat in this season.
That's true.
Knowing that is the big beat of maybe they don't end up getting around to it until season three. And of course that's going to be such a common thing in this world, but that is really sticking out to me that they're really making the conscious choice to spell that stuff out so explicitly twice now in the space of a few episodes is kind of weird.
But that Joel wins every time, I guess, too, right? Like Joel's actions have consequences and he's not killing random people. They're someone else's people, but you know, he's getting away with it.
For now. Yeah. Yeah. I do think that, we've had some emails of people being like, the show is spelling things out too much and it feels a bit unsubtle. But we've also, you know, from our experience with, you know, watching stuff, talking about stuff, seeing other people talk about stuff, not everyone picks up on everything. So,
and also,
yes,
you know, it's easier to see stuff being spelled out about the future when you know the future.
Also that,
you know, like that, sure. that sort of foreshadowing stuff is definitely there. But like when people see what it leads to, they'll go like, yeah, I knew that. Or like, oh, that's why, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If there was a Sopranos video game that detailed the entire show from, you know, season 1 to 6,
right,
then watching the show, you might be a little bit like, oh, they're pointing out the another animal metaphor or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Is that going to do us?
I think so, yeah. Not too much to say future-wise, especially because next week is the last episode, so any season 2 shit, well, I'm sure we'll do there again. We've already talked about that a bit. But
yeah, we've done it a fair bit, yeah. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Like we said, click around barelyknower@gmail.com. See you all next week for the finale.
Yeah.
The shorter one, too. Have your your watches ready. Bit shorter than the other episodes. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Babe.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.